Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you along with Ray Allen. Well, Ray, we've had the second of our three storms. Number two was not really that exciting, but the word is that storm number three will be the three, the strongest. So we will see as it moves into our area in rain week here in Tucson, Arizona. It's week number one of our sixth year of the Buckmaster Show. It's our midweek edition, Wednesday, January 6, 2016. We're coming to you from KVOI AM 1030, live streaming our show on my website, which links over to KVOI.com, where the fine station website has our show streaming. And then, of course, if you miss a portion of the show, if you'd like to go back and hear it again, we've got podcasts in our complete archive. My fine assistant, Rosemary Brad, has about every show we've done over 5 years at BuckmasterShow.com. We're going to begin with our monthly showdown. Sean McCluskey and David Morales will be going at it. And as the ring announcer, I've been checking their hands, making sure the gloves are in order, no foreign objects with in their boxing gloves. I'll introduce them in a moment. But at 12:30, he's a gentleman who wants to unseat Republican Ali Miller. He's a Democrat. His name is Brian Bickle. He's running in the supervisorial district number one of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. We'll close out the show with the January events at what's become a very popular series. It's called What If at Biosphere 2. Our live line number, 790-2040, was it good or bad that President Obama took executive action on three particular gun control measures yesterday? We'd love to hear from you again, 790-2040. Our Facebook page is under my name, Bill Buckmaster, and we're doing the Twitter thing slowly but surely, gaining new followers on Twitter at Buckmaster Show. Seated to the right of me, Sean McCluskey, Mr. McCluskey, Tea Party and Republican Party activist, host of a new talk show here on KVOI. The show is called Talk of the Town. Sean does his show Monday through Friday from 9 to 10. And seated to the left of me, leftist David Morales. David created and is still going strong his Three Sonorans blog site. David and Sean, how are you guys doing?
Outstanding.
Today?
Thank you.
You have a great holiday?
Wonderful.
Very
excellent.
Nice. Very good. All right. So this is the five-year anniversary on Friday of the terrible Tucson shootings. And President Obama talked a little bit about the Tucson incident as he laid out really three things in his package: hiring more people to run the FBI background check system so the government can be processing background checks 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He requested from Congress an additional $500 million to increase access to mental health care, and he clarified that people selling guns over the internet can still be required to conduct background checks on buyers if they are engaged in the business of selling guns, not just a hobbyist. The USA Today said these were small steps on guns. Sean, would you agree? Should the president have just let Congress do this?
Absolutely. Senator McCain yesterday morning stated that everything that he did yesterday was useless except for the mental health issue, and that should be legislated through Congress, through the House and Senate. It should not be done through executive action. What he's setting the precedent for is if he just continues to do executive action and executive action, flip the script and put a Republican in place. If he were to do the same thing with Planned Parenthood or something else, there would be anarchy in the streets, if you will. So doing it through executive action is the wrong way to do it, or executive memorandum, whichever he chooses to do. He's done more than anybody else. So it should go to the House and Senate, and they should come up with a comprehensive bipartisan effort that is good for everybody. And I'm not opposed to mental health wellness checks or even some restrictions on it at that rate.
And so that's gonna upset you're not some folks, so but. Much opposed, really, to what he's talking about. It's the manner that the way this was done. Through.
Well, you mentioned earlier the January 8th shooting.
Yeah.
Jared Loughner had every sign from the school, his counselors, and everybody else, and nothing on his jacket got flagged that prevented him from purchasing a weapon or even slowed him down. He bought the weapon, and 3 days later, here we were on the unfortunate events that took place. So if there is something like that, that person shouldn't, their rights shouldn't be trampled on, but there should be a checks and balances in place to protect the public.
David, what do you think? Are you happy the president acted?
Well, I think, you know, Sean was saying that, you know, the Congress and the Senate should do something, but the thing is they're not going to do anything ever, and especially if they're Republican led, because any single little thing that they do, which even this executive, like I said, it's not even an order, it's an action memorandum, like you were saying, it doesn't really do anything, like John McCain was saying, and yet, you know, Facebook, your friends, you know, up in arms, you know, no pun intended, about what's being done. And, you know, I was sharing an article from the Arizona Republic earlier about how this guy bought 200 guns, you know, at this gun shop in Glendale, and 120 of them were, you know, AK-47s. And he said, well, they were for personal use. But then they found out he was just sending them over to the Sinaloa cartel.
And he didn't buy them all at one time, but he did
over
buy
a
them
period
over
a
But he would
period.
Buy like 30 yeah. at a time, though.
Yeah,
and the thing is, these are the loopholes we need to fix. I mean, I'm not opposed to gun ownership.
I agree with you fixing that loophole, but please fix it from President Obama giving guns to the weapons in the Middle East and also in Mexico in the drug cartels. I mean, Brian Terry was killed by a gun that was released through Obama. So let's not say that it's individuals. Let's say it's our president doing
these
it.
Guns,
fix that
these
loophole.
Guns were in Arizona, though. I mean, these guns – Arizona has like this – probably the most lax gun laws in the nation. And – you know, that's the problem here is that this is where people are getting, and we were talking about earlier about how, where do these Central American, you know, gangs get their guns from? You know, in Mexico, guns aren't even allowed.
President Obama.
They get them from American manufacturers of guns. And, you know, so people buy guns here and then they just ship them over. They just put them in their trunks, ship them over to.
Let me give you a couple facts.
Okay.
According to the U.S. Department of Justice, less than 1% of guns that are used in crimes were obtained at gun shows. Primarily, that's what Obama wants to do. He wants to cut down the gun show loophole. Well, here's the truth about gun shows. Have you ever been to one?
I have been to one.
Okay, what did you see? You saw about 20% of the tables with guns, and the rest of them were selling beef jerky, knives, and bags, and different things. There's not a lot of guns transactions going on at gun sales. Yes, there are some, but generally you can get better pricing at the store. When the individual is in the gun show selling his weapon, he's looking for a premium on it. Not everybody is going to buy that gun. Guns are expensive. You need to have a good paying job to have them. One more fun fact for you. University of Maryland study found that there is no evidence that gun shows lead to increases in either gun homicide or suicides, and that tighter regulation of gun shows does not appear to reduce the number of firearm-related deaths. Again, because that's not where the criminals are shopping.
Yeah, so I was reading some other articles. I don't have them right here with me, but first of all, I'm saying that buying in bulk at a gun show is the problem. That, you know, maybe they're not being used in America, but they're going to Mexico or South.
They're not buying in bulk at
most,
a gun show.
I know, but a lot of these guns are not. Maybe they're not being bought at gun shows, but they're being bought by people who just sell them on the streets. I mean, you can go into the store and I can buy 100 guns. And what am I going to do with those 100 guns? I can then sell them without any license to people. Can I? Is that legal in this country?
If you buy 100 guns at a gun show, you're going to go through the checks.
No, no.
And going to get flagged
right.
If you buy
now,
100 guns.
No, no, no. But I can buy them, right?
Theoretically, yes.
Okay. Now, can I sell them without doing any background checks?
If you were a private salesperson,
yes.
Yes.
That is what's going on here. So there was
okay, however, if you think that our FBI and our ATF are so inept and our Pinal County Sheriffs and Pima County Sheriffs and Maricopa County Sheriffs are all so stupid that they don't track somebody who buys 100 guns at one time, you're absolutely ridiculous.
Well, here I have an example from the Arizona Republic where they did that. This guy bought 200 guns. And yes, you know what? I know that you don't like to talk bad about cops, but you know what? When you focus all your energies on immigration raids and, you know, all publicity on this type of stuff, you miss. I mean, Sheriff Arpaio got busted because, you know, the child abuse things that he was ignoring and stuff, because it's an elected official. It's an elected official, right? The sheriff has to pander to, especially in Arizona, the right wing, you know, people who are crazy about their guns and hate Mexicans and hate Muslims. You know, this is the problem with this country. This is the problem with this state in particular.
790-2040, if you would like to join in the conversation. David Morales and Sean McCluskey. David's also very fired up about this roundup of these people that had previously had their court date, these illegals.
So in Texas, they did a roundup and
in Laredo, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so these were mostly and what's weird is now they're targeting youth. So there was a 9-year-old and 12. There's a story that I posted. 9 and a 12-year-old and a mother from El Salvador who are escaping the violence in El Salvador. They're being deported in 2 days back to El Salvador. Now, we've already known from about a year ago, there was this mass deportation of Central American children. A lot of them died as soon as they went back. And so this is what boggles my mind about.
Did we track them? I mean, do we put implants in them? Do we chip them? How do we know they died?
Because when they die, it makes news. And people have families, and they can tell that they died. And they have pictures of them dying. But
we know they're the same kids that we deported.
The same kids that we deported died just days after not all of them, but some of them did. And that's the reason they traveled all the way across Mexico to get here to escape that violence. Now, where does that violence come from?
Why didn't they stay in Mexico?
It's a violent country.
Mexico's violent?
Yes, it's drug cartels. It's huge.
We have drug cartels here because our president supplies them with guns and doesn't put up a border wall.
All right, let's go to the live line. Jim is with us, 790-2040. Jim, how are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Doing well.
You know, the thing that bothers me even most about this is that I remember very well, and actually was just looking at it online today, that when Obama was campaigning for the White House, he called out President Bush for making so many executive orders and said he was going to roll that practice back, which he certainly has not done.
Yes, he has. He's had hundreds fewer than George Bush.
No, Obama has deported more people than any other president in the last three combined. And the other problem with it is more people have come through. Listen, tomorrow morning on my show, I've got Sheriff Paul Babu on. He says in the last 2 months, 10,000 illegal immigrant children have come across.
So. All right. I'll take a break right here at 12:16. It's the monthly showdown. Sean McCluskey, David Morales, 790-2040. If you'd like to join in the conversation, we'll take our first break here of our midweek edition of Buckmaster. We'll be right back. Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. and now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Twelve 20 on the Buckmaster Show. Welcome back. It's our monthly showdown. Sean McCluskey to the right of me, David Morales to the left of me, and I think the caller was actually asking David not about deportations. He was asking about the number of executive orders that comparing Bush and Obama.
Yeah, and so far, I mean, he's had like about half as many as Ronald Reagan had.
Correct. He did have half, and I misspoke. And it is, if you take his executive actions and executive memorandums and put them together, he's had more than any of the last three presidents combined.
So speaking of Reagan, I have an interesting question for you. So, you know, right now, one of the two topics we're talking about is immigration and gun control. And Reagan has an interesting history. First of all, you know, Reagan had his, of course, his amnesty, which you know, you guys
worked
love
out so well.
And he was your president. You guys love him, right? And the other thing that he did was in the late 60s, when he was a governor of California, he worked with the NRA to pass the Mulford Act, which banned open carry in California. Because the Black Panthers started, you know, carrying guns, and all of a sudden they said no. And so it's interesting that the NRA and Ronald Reagan, both heroes of you, passed anti-Second Amendment, you know, laws. Like, what do you think about that?
Passing it in California when they did it, I'm not familiar with it, and I'm sure Charles Heller is going to come unglued here in a second, but if it's something that's done on a statewide, California's got the most restrictive gun laws out there, and you see how well it doesn't work. So,
but they did it in response to the Black Panthers.
Again, it's a race thing with you, and I disagree with that.
No, it's true. The Black Panthers.
Then why wouldn't they do it in Chicago and everywhere else?
It doesn't matter. They marched to the state capitol in California, and as a response, the NRA got involved. The NRA helped draft this bill. So you might not say it's race related, but it was a direct, you know, cause and effect.
Even though I support the NRA and I support Ronald Reagan and I like Ronald Reagan as a president, I don't always agree with him.
Let's see. Okay, go ahead.
All right, I was going to say 790-2040, 790-2040, if you'd like to join in the conversation. Sean, what do you think of the Oregon standoff that's going on with the ranchers up there?
I think on the surface, the whole thing's kind of foolish. Mm-hmm. The reason for them doing it is interesting. The Bundys went up there to go help the Hammonds. The Hammonds are two jailed father and son that set a wildfire to their own land to go ahead and refertilize the crops for the next year. The federal government, it spewed onto the federal lands, and the federal government said it was an arson attempt to cover up a poaching event. They tried them, and the judge gave them a sentence, and they came out of jail, and they said that the judge didn't give them a harsh enough sentence, so they sent them up to another 5 years. That's where I have a problem with it. The folks that are up there that have taken the wildlife preserve, they did it at a time when nobody was there. They haven't caused any damage. They haven't hurt anybody. And yes, they are standing there. But if you watch what they're doing, they're peaceful in their actions. Their guns are in their either holsters or in their cases, and they're sitting there just sleeping outside.
David contends, and on Facebook, you were saying that if these were people of color or immigrants, it'd be over by now.
Well, I mean, just look at the last year of us discussing, you know, the police violence, I mean, against, you know, unarmed Black youth. I mean, immediately you can go back on your Facebook page. It's always these thugs deserve that. They have no respect for authority. I mean, these guys have no respect for authority, right? They're not respecting the cops. And
correct. You know, they're also not burning the city down.
That was in response. Okay, how many of them were killed by a cop?
In Baltimore? How many rioters?
How many in Oregon were killed by cops? How many were shot by cops?
None.
Okay, this is a response. This is always what happens.
You're reactionary. And this is not a reactionary situation.
Wait until one of them gets shot, and then you're going to have Ruby Ridge or Waco. You know it.
They're not going to get shot. The sheriff up there has taken a stance that he is going to, it is his call.
Why are they not going to take care of it? Why did Tamir Rice, a 12-year-old at a park, get shot? But yet here you have these guys. I mean, you could say Tamir Rice was taking stand of a park, but you know, that argument's ridiculous. I mean, here you have people taking over a federal building. They've already made videos released to their families saying that, you know, like goodbye videos. I mean, this is like Al Qaeda.
You can't pick the radicals out of the group. That's like going and getting the crazy that stayed back in the flood sitting
on his
roof.
Most of that group is crazies, right? You're in Oregon.
Look at the old man that is talking to the press. There's a video up right now, and he says, "I'm going to sit right here. All the militia are behind me, and their guns will not be pointed up here."
Sitting in a lawn chair,
and he's wearing a proper overcoat, and he is a rancher, farmer, good old boy from the woods, and he's surviving.
But David's saying they're radicals.
Let's talk about something we talked about before. The Boer takeover at TUSD was done by students, unarmed.
It was an occupied building, and they took over an occupied dais. These folks took over an unoccupied
federal reserve. It's not
unoccupied.
Theirs.
It's not even with a building. Guns. They haven't gone inside the building.
With guns, right? See how you talk
it's
differently?
It's an open
the
carry
language
state.
Is always
no.
different.
No, it's a situational situation. The situation is different. You had an occupied dais with 5 board members on it, and the kids rushed it and changed themselves to it. That is an act of violence.
Really?
That is an act of aggression towards five other people. There was no one inside the refugee reserve, so who did they act violently upon?
They have no
who
guns.
Who was aggressed upon? These are nobody. Kids. Nobody was there.
Who took any? See, the thing is, these are all responses to things that you guys take away from us. The Republicans take away our rights. They take away our right to learn our own history, Mexican American studies. You want to take away rights for gays and married. You want to take away rights for women that have reproductive rights. You always take away liberty and freedom from women and minorities. Nothing has been taken from you guys, and you guys are so mad and up in arms. Like
Obama is coming after my guns. He wants to restrict how many weapons I can buy.
Gun sales have soared under Obama.
You want to know why? Because every time he does something the price increases on bullets and weapons, and it takes money to buy
them.
When has
he ever taken your gun? What has he done?
He has created more and more restrictions. His executive actions yesterday, which will be nullified at the state level. Thank you to Mark Fincham, and I believe it's going to be HB 2430.
Give me one example that he has done to take away your guns.
Well, he has become the best salesman for guns in this country.
New Year's Eve, there was rumblings.
Give me an example. How
New Year's Eve, there was rumblings of this legislation coming out, and 3 days prior, you could see the gun sales soar.
More guns out there.
Let's go to Ingrid here, see if we can work her in real quickly. Ingrid, go ahead, 790-2040.
Yes, you know, Mr. Morales, you keep bringing up Mexicans and we're taking away their history and this and that. That's what this is really all about with you. And when you consider the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and the remarks that Lee Peterson's been making, it really proves that this is just an ethnic issue and people from Mexico and other Hispanics, certain portions of that group, are just trying to bully around other people and make them feel guilty for no reason at all. Thank you.
You guys took away, you banned our classes that were successful. We had a 97% graduation rate. Who's being bullied? You guys are the ones in power, right?
Well, the reason that the classes were taken away because of what was being taught in the classroom.
Independent audit confirms what you've said.
It is not an acceptable substitution for American history.
It is American history.
Correct,
it's Mexican
but it is
American
a
history
small slice of it. It is not the
so
broad
scope.
No, we should
only learn Anglo-American history.
No, we shouldn't learn about all of it.
But we don't.
You don't need to micro focus in on one subject of
that
it.
That is what we
not.
Do.
All right, let's see if we can work Rick in. Rick has called us at 790-2040. Go ahead, Rick.
Yeah, hi there. Well, first of all, I'd like to say I've got several books in my library on Mexican American history, the Mexican Revolution. I'd hate to think anyone was denying this gentleman the right to learn about it, so I would actually loan him these books. Second of all, I've been out to the gun show. I have a couple friends that set up tables. They're older guys. They have collections. If you don't have an Arizona ID, if you look like you're a questionable person, in other words, you've got teardrops running down, tattoos on the side of your face.
Racial profiling.
There's no sale. So somebody comes up, somebody wanted to buy a gun. They didn't have an Arizona ID. They had a friend with them. He says, oh, I don't have an Arizona ID. Oh, now my friend wants to buy it. He said, no, both of you, leave my table. I'm not selling it to either one of you. So this idea that you can just walk in there with like a Sicario and you're working for the Sinaloa cartel with a bunch of tattoos, it's not true.
What if you look like a white supremacist, a bald head, beard, with the Duck Dynasty shirt?
I didn't say what race it was. I said a person that is suspicious looking.
I know.
That you might say, hey, this gun is going to end up somewhere where it shouldn't.
1070. So SB 1070 has reasonable suspicion in it, too. We all know what that means.
All right, Tim is next. I think we can work Tim in before we run out of time here. Go ahead, Tim.
Hi. My question is for Mr. Morales. It seems to me that perhaps your big goal is to make our world more harmonious. You know, why do you have to be Mexican? Why do you have to be black? Why do you have to be Muslim? When we're all Americans, why can't we live harmoniously? Is that correct, sir?
My goal is to be treated fairly. So, like, when you guys say you like freedom and liberty, you don't restrict the freedom and liberty. Because there's nothing that I support that targets white people, white male people in legislation. I'm not banning your history. I'm not banning your right to have guns. But you guys do that to us.
Okay, Tim, go ahead.
Now, I understand exactly what you're saying. But my question is, and I've listened to these showdowns here for a few months now, and you want us to be harmonious and you want us all to be equal, yet you use terms like you guys and ours and yours. Why can't it all be ours?
I wish it could, but it's not.
You're making as much of a generalization about people as you fight against saying about being upset that people think all Muslims are bad, which obviously they're not, or all Mexicans are bad, and obviously they're not. But when you use terms like you guys and you take ours, that you're contradictory, sir. I don't understand it. I'll listen to you guys off the air. I just wanted to understand where you were coming from.
You know, maybe I should refer to the Republicans in charge of our bills. And it pretty much is you guys. It's like a big old block of people in power who impose these restrictions on everyone except themselves.
All right.
They're all elected. It's your opportunity to change it. Get out there and change the vote.
Okay, folks, thank you very much. Sean and David, thanks for the showdown. And folks who called in, wish you had called in a little bit earlier. We had to kind of rush it there at the end. But that's going to do it at 12:31 on the Buckmaster Show. The showdown concludes. We've got a candidate who would like to unseat Ally Miller. That'll be next on Buckmaster. Thanks.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We bring you national stories ignored by the mainstream media. Sources include the Washington Times News Service, Personal Liberty Digest, the National Center for Policy Analysis, the Washington Free Beacon, and the Heartland Institute. It is national news coverage from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Thursday for a newsmaker interview with TUSD board member Dr. Mark Stegeman. Also, a preview of this weekend's Beyond events. Buckmaster during the noon hour on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's Voice. We've got Anywhere in the World live streaming, podcasts, and our show archive on my website, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. My name is Bill Buckmaster. It's 12:36 on our midweek edition of week one of our sixth year now on the radio. Brian Bickle joins us. Mr. Bickle is hoping to be the Democratic candidate who will be going against Allie Miller, Pima County Supervisor, Republican in District 1. If Ms. Miller does not have a primary opponent, and we have no idea whether or not she will. But at this point, Mr. Bickle is hoping that he will get a chance to face off against Allie Miller. Brian, nice to meet you. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you, Bill. Glad to be here.
Tell me a little bit about why you decided to get into this race for Pima County Supervisor.
Mostly, I'm very disenchanted with the representation that I'm getting from Ms. Miller. Or lack of representation would be a more appropriate term. I know she has a strong constituency, but I don't think it represents a valid cross-section of the district that she represents. Nobody else seemed to be willing to take up the flag and march forward, so I thought, why not?
Is there some particular issue that you are very that's close to your heart that is kind of the marquee issue for you?
I wouldn't say it's a particular issue. I think looking at what I'd try to accomplish if I'm fortunate enough to be elected to the position, I think we need to look at economic growth and, more importantly, economic diversity. I know Mr. Steller has done a couple of columns. Mr. Huckleberry has had an op-ed piece on the fact that Pima County and more particularly Tucson hung its hat on growth in the home construction industry for a long time. And we have a very narrow economic base. I think we need to focus on broadening that economic base. I think it's the primary difference between Pima County and Maricopa County. When you look at the industrial diversity that they have up there, it's significantly more diverse than Pima County is.
Brian, tell us a little bit about yourself. Why? Well, you mentioned why you're getting into this, but who are you and a little bit about your background?
I was born and raised in Michigan, a small town called Frankenmuth. I'm amazed at the number of people that know about it.
What's the name of it?
Frankenmuth.
Frankenmuth.
Frankenmuth. World's largest year-round display of Christmas decorations.
Wow. Okay.
But
the winter haven of Michigan.
and then some. joined the Marine Corps when I was 18 years old, spent a year in Vietnam, was stationed in Yuma when I got back from there. My cousin was a student at Arizona State. She introduced me to a young lady then that's now my wife and has been for the past almost 43 years. I'm a retired hospital administrator. Was technically trained as a medical technologist before I got into administration, and have literally worked in healthcare from coast to coast, California to West Virginia, and a whole lot of spots in between.
All right. Carl has called us at 790-2040. He would like to speak with Brian Bickle, Democrat who wants to be Pima County Supervisor in Supervisorial District Number 1. Go ahead, Carl.
Yes, you talk about economic diversity. Where do you stand on Davis, on keeping Davis-Monthan and getting Rosemont going?
As far as keeping Davis-Monthan is concerned, I think the ties that we've got to the federal government as far as the defense industry is concerned, Davis-Monthan certainly is a synergistic multiplier when you look at Raytheon, so it makes good sense to keep them around. I don't think we need to pin all of our hopes on keeping Davis-Monthan here. I'm certainly not advocating that they go away, but I'd like to think that if we're unfortunate enough to have that happen for whatever reason, it's not the end of the world. I have lived through a base closure in Lubbock, Texas, and the community has survived, thrived, and done well, even though the military did depart. As far as Rosemont is concerned, I don't know enough about both sides to take a position one way or the other. I've heard the people from what's now Hudbay, I believe they bought Augusta out about a year ago, and they have some mining concepts that I don't fully understand. If I thought we were going to look at a pile of tailings like I look at out my back window as I look south towards Sahuarita every day, I don't know that that's the best way to handle things, but I think there are ways to do mining that are much less destructive to the environment than some of the mining techniques that we've used in the past.
Okay, thank you, Carl. Carl calling us at 790-2040. How are you structuring your campaign? A lot of door-to-door efforts right now and collecting signatures, I assume?
We're collecting some signatures. Not as much door-to-door activity yet. Door-to-door during the Christmas season tends to be a little bit counterproductive, yeah. But now that we've made it past the new year and things have settled down a little bit, if we can get the rain to stop, which everybody is glad we have, we'll start doing some significant door-to-door work. But I've spent a lot of time with the business community just trying to get out in front of people, let people know who I am and some of the thoughts that I have as far as the county is concerned.
Supervisor Miller was one of the outspoken critics of the bond measures, which went down to defeat. Do you think that were you in favor of the bonds?
I was. Okay. I supported them pretty much unanimously.
Do you think that she should be taking credit for their defeat?
She can take credit for their defeat if she likes to. I know that she supported the opposition against them. In fact, the gentleman who led that charge was one of her appointees to the bond advisory committee. I think my frustration in the defeat is the fact that I've heard nothing come out of the vote no on Pima bonds faction that says, okay, we've eliminated the bond issue, but the issues that we're going to be dealt with the bond money are still out there. And I haven't heard anything from anybody that says this is how we're going to take care of those problems.
Are you in favor of the Sonoran Corridor project?
The piece of it that we're talking about, mm-hmm. that was the part of the bond issue, absolutely. I think the export logistics environment that we're talking about trying to establish here in Pima County, I think would benefit greatly from that. I know there's a lot of confusion because the I-11 corridor that goes through the Avra Valley is also part of the Sonoran Corridor project, and I don't think that's as much of a decided issue yet as people would like it to be, but I think this is a piece that can stand on its own, and whether you do the I-11 piece or don't do the I-11 piece, I think the connector between I-19 and I-10 is something that needs to happen.
Registration is what, 60-40 Republican in District 1, something
actually,
like that?
Actually, it's about 35 independent, 35 Republican, 30 Democrat.
Okay, so it's pretty much divided ways.
It's about a third, a third, a third.
So I assume you're going to be trying to go after that independent and perhaps some disenchanted Republicans?
Absolutely. even some non-disenchanted Republicans.
Okay. Brian Bickle, thank you very much. People can find out more at your website, correct?
Correct.
And that is?
www.bickle, the number 4, supervisor.com.
Brian Bickle, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Talk to you
again.
Glad
to be here.
This portion of the Buckmaster Show brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, the recreation-oriented and arts community, a very historic community, Silver City in Grant County. It's just about 3 hours east of Tucson. Great place to do a lot of exploring, like the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument, and no shortage of great places to stay in the Silver City area, places like Pinos Altos Cabins, Silver City KOA, and Burrow Mountain Homestead RV Park, to name a few. The full listing of over 24 places to stay and the many things to do in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, is listed on their website, Southwest New Mexico, that's spelled out, .org. Back right after this.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman on behalf of 5-Star Termite and Pest Control. Question, how many cockroaches does it take to change a light bulb? None, if you use 5-Star Termite and Pest Control. Because there are no cockroaches. Hasta luego. Adios, cucaracha. Do yourself a favor and call my friend Shelby Hawkins at 5-Star Termite and Pest Control.
We're 5-Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. As those clouds move through the area very quickly, storm number 2 of 3 is pretty much now exited. Southern Arizona will be getting another storm. This one is supposed to be the most potent of the 3. We'll get the rain on Friday. We'll see. This portion of the Buckmaster Show, presented by the University of Arizona College of Science, with nearly 7,500 undergraduate and graduate students, the UA College of Science brings together globally prominent faculty and disciplines at the core of scientific inquiry and education. Find out more at cos.arizona.edu. UA Science and Innovation, a place of discovery. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show, Dr. Kevin Bonine, the Director of Education and Outreach at Biosphere 2, the UA Biosphere 2. He is also Director of Outreach Initiatives at the UA College of Science. Kevin, good to see you.
Thanks so much. Good to see you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Hope you had a great holiday.
Indeed.
You were out at Biosphere 2 on the first Saturday of the year doing a presentation as part of this very popular What If series.
That's right. We have this What If You Could See Tomorrow series, helping our visitors understand sort of the way scientists think about asking and answering questions. And our focus in January is on using science to basically make our future. And I brought some reptiles out, which is an area of expertise of mine, and talked about snakes and Gila monsters and some of the things we can learn from them with respect to the environment and climate change, but also the kinds of things that we can get out of their venom components and other chemicals that we can turn into drugs that humans use.
Well, I'm sure the families and the kids love to see the maybe some were perhaps frightened by them, but I'm sure you assured them that there's nothing to worry about and that actually, as you point out, these creatures could be very helpful to us with two-legged creatures.
That's exactly right. You certainly have some visitors that shy away from these animals. You have some folks that already love them, and then you have a group that's willing to overcome their fears, and that's actually a lot of fun to watch somebody come up and pet a snake or hold a snake for the first time.
How is the What If series, Kevin, structured? How does it work?
So what we do is we have all this scientific expertise from the U of A and the surrounding community come out and visit with the public for about 5 minutes, just sort of a brief introduction of the most exciting and interesting things about their work. And then they're available to talk informally with folks. It's not a lecture format at all. It's more of a interaction. Let's have a discussion. And our visitors bring hands-on materials and activities so that people can engage. I brought snakes. You know, a physicist like Elliot Chu at the end of the month, he's going to bring a Van de Graaff machine that generates a static electric field.
And Paul Shepard is going to be coming up this Saturday. And Paul is from the world-renowned University of Arizona Laboratory of Tree Ring Research, Dendrochronology. Did I get that right?
You got that exactly right. It's using that record of climate and growth that's recorded in trees to learn about conditions at the time and place where that tree was growing. And there's just so much information you can learn from that, everything from climate to anthropology, you know, when were beams put into American Indian dwellings, those sorts of things. And he's going to come out, talk about his work, talk about implications for the future, and he'll have some hands-on examples of components of his work and tree ring slices and how to work with them.
And the tree rings really have told us about some of our past droughts. I remember doing a couple of TV stories back in the day over there at the Tree Ring Laboratory. They used to be, as you know, Kevin, in the basement of the Arizona Stadium. Now they have a fabulous new building. But the drought, you can actually go back and see some of these mega droughts that we had by looking at tree rings that go back to like the 12th and 13th century.
That's exactly right. You know, in the Southwest and even around the world, tree ring records going back thousands of years have been compiled and tell us a heck of a lot about what climate has been like in a given area. And there have been some of these mega droughts, and they portend potentially future conditions like that as well.
So that's Paul Shepard. His presentation will be coming up on Saturday, this Saturday, the 9th. And again, all of these presentations out at Biosphere 2. And what is your start time for these, Kevin?
Typically, it is between noon and 2, which is our peak visitation on Saturdays. And we really want to get as much science in front of our visitors as possible. So we're trying to leverage the visit by these scientists when we have the most people to interact with them.
Okay, and January 16th, let's talk a little bit about Biosphere 2. The Landscape Evolution Observatory Research Team will be present.
So Dr. Peter Troke and his colleagues and students are working with our Landscape Evolution Observatory. This is the flagship experiment that the University of Arizona invested in when they took over Biosphere 2. And the questions that we can ask and answer about water and energy and nutrient cycling are extremely important for all sorts of aspects of understanding how to grow more agricultural crops, implications of climate change, water availability in the future, all these sorts of things.
And that is referred to the acronym LEO, I believe.
That's right. LEO is the acronym, so Landscape Evolution Observatory.
It has become a marquee attraction for Biosphere 2.
It's an amazing, amazing facility. It is three giant hill slopes, each of them 11 meters by 30 meters with a meter deep soil. And that replication of three is important in science. And the scale at which those things are allowing us to answer questions is why Biosphere 2 is so valuable. You can ask questions at a scale you can't easily ask anywhere else, but you still have the control of a laboratory.
On January 23rd, one of the what if questions will be, what if we could make food production more efficient? And of course, that is so critical because in parts of this world, food production, the drought has taken a role, but it's been a very difficult time, parts of Africa. So how will Linda Lee be programming that talk?
Yeah, so Linda Lay, I think she pronounces it
Lay.
She's one of the original eight Biospherians that was in that first mission in the early 90s and really took some of the lessons to heart that they learned when they were inside about how challenging it was to grow enough food under those conditions. And she's put that to good use, gotten her PhD, and now she works on figuring out how to make food production more efficient, how to recycle some of the waste products so that it's more of a closed loop, and figure out how to get those nutrients and that carbon into the next crop.
And Biosphere 2 getting worldwide attention. I was listening. I have BBC. I listened a little bit to the BBC, their international service, and they had a team from London that came out to Biosphere 2 and it had a piece about, actually spent a whole half hour their report, which was very interesting. So you're getting fabulous publicity.
It was a fantastic piece. I mean, that's sort of representative of the scale and quality of science that we're doing. It's cutting edge. It's global. And the BBC's, you know, millions or hundreds of millions of listeners are hearing this story.
A ton of listeners.
And a half hour piece was fantastic because you could talk about the history of Biosphere 2 and get into that, which people are very excited and interested about. But then the bulk of the piece was about the research that we're doing and looking forward.
Okay, and then this January will wrap up with you'll be the what if we could understand the building blocks of our universe.
So Dr. Elliot Chu is a physics professor at the University of Arizona. He's also associate dean of the UA College of Science. And his work looks at the fundamental building blocks of the universe. And he works with his colleagues in Europe, the Large Hadron Collider, where they super accelerate things and smash them together and look at those tiny components. And he's got some really neat toys that he's going to bring out, including electron beam, where you can bend the beam with a magnet. It'll be a lot of fun.
Beam me up, right?
That's right.
We've got January and then February, March and April. The What If series continues. February, you're going to kind of dovetail with what will be going on with a very popular UA College of Science lecture series.
That's exactly right. And I'll let Joaquin Ruiz talk about that in a couple of weeks.
On the show in a couple of weeks,
Those six lectures kick off in late January, talking about our Earth transformed. And there's six speakers in that series, and there's so much more expertise on campus and in the community that we wanted to bring some of those folks to Biosphere 2, give people another opportunity and a different way to engage and learn about those issues.
And everybody is so focused on climate and climate change, and a lot of work going on recording what's been going on in coral reefs and marine systems, and Biosphere 2 is very much at the forefront of that.
That's right. We have a very unique ocean biome where we can do research. Recently on board with us is Dr. Julie Cole from UA Geosciences, and she studies paleoclimate reconstruction using the record found in coral reefs. So she will take cores of corals and study the story that's recorded there. And she's going to talk about that at Biosphere 2 on the second Saturday in February.
All right. And we'll meet with you again in early February, Kevin Bonine, to talk again about the full lineup coming up at Biosphere 2 in the What If series in February, and of course, the lecture series. Dr. Joaquin Ruiz, who's head of the U of A College of Science, joins us in a couple of weeks, and he'll preview the whole lecture series. Kevin, thank you very much. And again, folks, coming out to Biosphere 2 around midday, best time on Saturday?
That's right, midday on Saturday. And for more information, biosphere2.org has directions and information about tickets and membership and what's on tap each Saturday.
Kevin Bonine, thank you so much for the work you do. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Coming up this afternoon, 4 Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw, 4 to 5 here. Then we do 4 hours of local talk, 6 to 10 in the morning. And then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you. I'll be back with you tomorrow for our Thursday edition of the Buckmaster Show at 12:04. Dr. Mark Stegeman will be our lead guest from TUSD on the Buckmaster Show. Till then, Ray Allen, my fine producer, engineer, and myself, wish you a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at kvoi.com.